Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Scripture this morning comes from Revelations, divided into two sections. The first section is chapter 21, verses 1 through 6, and then I'm going to jump down to 22 and finish off there. Hear now God's word to us. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of life." And continuing on, which may not be on the screen. Then the angels showed me the river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing through the throne of God and of the Lamb. And through the middle of the street, on either side of the river, is the tree of life with the 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. There will be no need for light or lamp or sun, for the Lord of God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. My friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So I don't know if you've noticed, but our church calendar is filling up. Summer, of course, has been filled around here with a multitude of voices that talked about God and Jesus and Dr. Seuss. But now we pivot towards the wonderful 175th anniversary celebration, and then on to our church's mission study small groups. It's like looking back and celebrating all the amazing things First Presbyterian Church has accomplished in 175 years, and then turning our focus to the future, the not yet future. Romans 8 frames this looking back and facing the future beautifully, I think. Now, hope is that is not. So that hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what they already see? If you think about it, all those amazing years filled with large numbers of members, an overflowing youth club, all those things that we have seen that were programs and activities here at this church. But remember, Romans says we can't hope for that because we've already seen that. That's not hope, right? We've already seen it. So what do we do? Romans reminds us that there is hope. It's just not here yet. And it promises that that hope will save us. Not what we already have, but what will be in the future. And that kind of leads us to this final chapter in Revelations. Now, I'll be honest, there is a multitude of ways that we can read the text of Revelations. We could look at it as a historical context, that it was written in a time and a place for particular people in a time and a space. Or we could understand it as if there is some truth, something about God and humanity that the world and the world where it keeps repeating itself. Or we could look at it as a personal journey to God through our own darkness and struggles, or even a timeline or a blueprint for the future, for the end of all things. I actually like to mix it up and use a little bit of each as I look at this particular passage. So, here we are. Historically, John is in exile. He's on the island of Patmos, and he's written this revelation. It's apocalyptic in nature. It's a prophecy of sorts. And John is clear that this message is from God. And this prophecy, if you've read through all of Revelations, is filled with interesting imagery and thoughts. And as you reach the climax in these final chapters, which are our chapters today, the verse in John's revelation casts a new vision. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Now, some of you may go, gosh, that seems familiar. I think I've heard that before. You probably have, because it's part of our funeral liturgy. So we oftentimes read that when we have a funeral or a memorial service here. Yet, well, the idea of this new heaven and this new earth is very comforting. I don't think we can restrict this revelation to just death. I think John is wanting his readers to hear this idea of all that the old things, old ideas, old places, old people in our lives, perhaps have moved on or even passed away. And the way that they have always passed away means that God is also continually creating something new out of that process, a new heaven and a new earth. And I think our hope, that thing we don't know about yet, remember we can't hope for things we already know about, I think that's based and will be in this new thing. Our hope is in this new thing. We don't know what it is. We really can't imagine it yet. But we have some hints in Scripture today. This idea of where God resides. Remember, in the Old Testament, God was someplace else, and then in the tabernacle. But now, where is God? God is here, not in heaven, because this idea of heaven has expanded. And it's new because it's a reminder that God is now residing in each of us. So I think that's a clue as to what hope may entail. It may not. I'm not a fortune teller. So, over the past several decades, many environmental and social change efforts have come to reflect the centrality of shopping in our culture, and suggesting that change can be made, or even best made, through the alteration of individual consumption patterns. You probably know this as buy fair trade, right? Buy organic. Use reusable bags. Screw in a CFL light bulb. And they're all great places to start. But they're a terrible place to stop, ignoring the real source of power, coming together as engaged citizens. So there's a documentary that you haven't seen it. I suggest you might want to look it up. It's called The Story of Change. It was released a while ago, 2012. I can't believe that was a while ago. Annie Leonard argued that it's not bad shoppers who are putting our future at risk. It's actually bad policy and bad business practices. If we really want to change the world, we have to move beyond voting with our dollars, and we have to come together. And we've got to demand rules that work. Annie takes a view through an inspiring exploration of what effective change making has looked like through history. From Gandhi in India, to the civil rights movement here, to the environmental victories in the 1970s, and shares the things you'll find whenever people get together and change the world. A big idea, a commitment to working together, and a whole lot of change. A whole lot of action. She also views knowing that making change will take all kinds of people and offers a series of changemaker identity, and she ends the movie with a question for viewers. Which are you? So which are you when it comes to change? Okay, I know I'm using that word that makes us all uncomfortable. Change. I get it. We're all going through a lot of change. And yet the truth of the matter is that's what life is about. Life is about moving from one moment to the next. And when that happens, change has occurred. So those listening to Revelation in John's time were really struggling with change. You see, they were trying to figure out when Christ was going to return. They were pretty sure it was going to happen any day now, even though it had been years. They were also trying to identify as what it meant to be Christ followers, to become Christians. And as they were doing this, as they were living in anticipation of what they called the New Jerusalem, the Jerusalem when Christ would occur, they embraced a way of life to bear witness to the purpose of God, who is the work and the author of creation, and ultimately new creations that occur. So as we live in a world of change, some of it good, some of it bad, depending on who you talk to, I wonder what would happen if we actually embrace John's idea that there is something new that we're supposed to be embracing, that we're supposed to be working towards. What would it mean for us to bear witness to the purpose of God? What would happen if we decided to let go of things in the past that no longer were part of us and embrace what's coming? What would it look like to let go and then embrace this idea of our hope in God? Our hope in God, which we really can't see, but it will save us. I think we're called each and every day to live into this idea of new creation, new day, new life, new mission, new call from God. Not like anything we've seen. Because remember, hope is not something we've ever seen before. No, I think God is calling us to do something new. For the old has passed on, and the new is emerging. And all of us here are part of that new thing. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.